Father, we have poured our hearts out to you this morning in worship, to admitting that you are our awesome Lord who reigns over all and has our future secure. And now we ask that you'll pour your Spirit out on us, pour your Spirit of wisdom and understanding into our hearts as your word is read and preached to us. Teach us, Lord, encourage us, and equip us to serve for your glory, that when we go out through the next week, we will live lives worthy of your calling, that show that we are secure in your hands and reflect your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Luke 12:13-24. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of abundance of possessions." Then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and those things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you and to bring God's word to you. What a privilege that is. Let me just open in a word of prayer first. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. Your word is wonderful. It's truth. And your word lifts us up to see who you are, to see our Lord Jesus Christ more clearly, and encourages our spirit. We pray, Father, that you would help us this morning as we listen to your word. And we pray, Father, you give me words to speak that will be from you, so that we would be touched and changed. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start, I just want to give, if I can, Steve, with your permission, a plug for Taste and See. Taste and See is happening in April, May. And, of course, we have an information and training night happening this Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 16th, at the Planted Coffee House. So if you are thinking of bringing a friend, you may not have actually closed the deal yet on that one, but if you're thinking of bringing a friend, please let us know today or tomorrow at the latest. so that we can actually organise food and logistics for that. So that's this Saturday, the 16th of March, the Taste and See Information and Training Evening, starting at 7 p.m. All right, we're looking at Luke's Gospel at the moment on these Sunday mornings because it introduces us to the real historical Jesus. And whether you've known him a long time or whether you're new to Christianity, we want to meet him and we want to know him better. Why? Because as we've seen in recent weeks, as Duncan opened it up for us, he is the powerful Son of God who stills the storm with a word, who has authority over demons, over disease, over death. And he's God's Messiah, our Saviour, who came into the world, as we saw last week, to suffer and die in our place to save us from our sin, to bring us back to God. Now, in these middle chapters of Luke's Gospel, in chapters 9 to 12, we're actually told what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And here in chapter 12, Jesus is teaching about a subject that everyone thinks about, money. People sing about it, don't they? Remember the ABBA song, Money, Money, Money? Not so funny in a rich man's world. You won't be able to get that tune out of your head now, won't you? People write about money, people dream about it, people long for it, people invest it to make it grow, people run after it, people work long hours for it. Jesus talks more about money than almost any other subject except the kingdom of God. Of the 38 parables that he taught, 16 have something to do with money. Why? Because money so easily grabs our hearts. Money so easily becomes an idol we worship in place of God. See, it's easier to trust money like we trust God, isn't it? It's a sort of creator. We can do great things with it, build our dream home, start a business. It's a savior. It solves a lot of problems. Buy whatever we need, even a divorce. It's a comforter, and we call that retail therapy. Money is a powerful God. It offers comfort and security, and it makes people like me and pay me attention. There's an old Yiddish proverb which goes like this: with money in your pocket, you are wise and you're handsome and you can sing really well too. But Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so this morning, as we look at this very challenging passage, let's examine our hearts and ask ourselves, what place does money have in my life? See, if you get this wrong, it can derail your life, can't it? Because what you feel and do about money can make or break your life eternally. So what does Jesus have to say about money here in Luke chapter 12? Well, three things. Firstly, watch out for greed. Secondly, how to be stress-free about money. And thirdly, how to use money wisely. So let's get to the text. Firstly, watch out for greed in our lives. Jesus was teaching the crowd, and someone in the crowd comes to him and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Such a common issue, isn't it? We hear about that every day, a dispute over inheritance. And in Jesus' day, of course, the custom was that the older brother inherited the estate and had to decide what to do with it. And in this case, he obviously wasn't sharing it with his younger sibling, who says to Jesus, "Make my brother divide it with me." But Jesus hasn't come to settle disputes over money, has he? He's come to fix a much greater problem. He's come to save people from sin and death, and he's come to bring people back to God and to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And so he refuses, verse 14, "Man, who appointed me judge or arbiter between you?" But Jesus knows full well what's going on in this family. It's being torn apart by greed. And that's the deeper issue he addresses. Look at verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions." We all know what greed is, don't we? We're familiar with it. Jesus says, "Watch out, be on your guard against it." Why does he say that? Why does he need to say that? We all know what greed is. Well, because it's never me, is it? I'm not greedy. In all my years of pastoral ministry, not one person has ever come to me and said, "I have a problem with greed." We see it all around us, but not in ourselves. So what are the signs of greed in our lives? How can we tell if greed is taking hold of our lives? Well, Jesus is a masterful storyteller, and in this parable he tells us what to look for. First, worry. Look at verse 16. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.'" Notice this man is already rich. And so are we, aren't we? According to the Global Wealth Report 2023, Australia has one of the highest wealth per capita in the world. We're a wealthy nation. We are wealthy people. And yet this man in the story worries what to do with his bumper crop. "What shall I do?" he says. "I've no place to store my crops." So we ask ourselves, do I worry about money? Do I worry about having enough? Do I worry about keeping it and growing it? Worrying about money is a sign of greed. A second sign of greed is storing up. Look at verse 18. "Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain.'" This man stores up his surplus. He doesn't give it away. He hoards it. He wants more. And we live in a culture, friends, that it actually encourages us to accumulate wealth, to want more of it, to have more of it. If you worry a lot about growing your money, if you envy people who have it, if you find it difficult to give it away, if you're feel compelled to store it up, it's a sign you have a problem with greed. A third sign, of course, is gloating. Look at verse 19. The rich man says, "And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" So this man is self-satisfied, isn't he? Bigger barns, better house. It's all I need. This is my security. This is my safety net in a tough, harsh world. But that's actually a lie, isn't it? You can't actually get security through money. Money's useful, it's convenient, it's a help, but it's no real security, is it? It's no security against accidents, broken relationships, or death. William Plummer, the Puritan preacher, once said, "Death laughs at bags of gold." Watch out, says Jesus. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. There's more to life than money and wealth. There's a God in heaven to whom we're all accountable. Look at Jesus' words in verses 20 to 21. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." When Tutankhamun's tomb was sort of opened or discovered in 1922, archaeologists found this incredible treasure trove, beautiful jewellery, gilded furniture, trumpets, chariots, fine pottery. And it was all, of course, meant for him to take into the afterlife. But the fact that it's all now in a museum shows that he couldn't take it with him. He was the richest man in the world at the time. But Jesus tells us we can have it all, but you can't take it with you. There's more to life than money. There's a God in heaven to whom we're accountable. That's the first thing Jesus teaches us. Watch out for greed in our lives. Secondly, how to be stress-free about money. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I don't have a lot of money. I'm actually struggling to make ends meet. and you might be a student or a pensioner and struggling to live off study or the pension, or a businessman and it's not going well and financially it's tough, and money makes us anxious. The rich person worries about keeping and growing his money, the poor person worries about having enough money. And Jesus understands this. Look what he says in verse 22. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Like the rich man in Jesus' story, our Western culture lives by this motto, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what life is about, according to many food and fashion programs that you can watch on TV these days. But food and clothing actually are quite expensive, aren't they? And only the rich can keep up with all the fads. And so stress is the scourge of our age. If life is all about eat, drink, and be merry, if that's all there is to life, you'll be stressed about missing out and not enjoying life as much as you should or could. But Jesus tells us in verse 23, life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And then down in verse 29, he says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. There's a God in heaven, a loving Father who knows what you need. If you believe in a God like that, who knows you and provides for you, that's a great stress buster, isn't it? Notice how Jesus describes God in this section that we're looking at. He firstly describes him as an awesome judge, doesn't he? Who calls us to account, who describes what success and failure is, and who determines the days of our life. And he says to this rich man, who's focused just on what he has, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then he also describes God in this section as the sustainer of the universe, who feeds the birds and clothes the flowers, and who provides all their needs. He looks after his creation in every detail. And Jesus says this awesome God is also a father who knows the needs of his children. Do you know that? You have a Father in heaven who cares. He's a father to the fatherless. We're not on our own in a cold, dark universe, trying to eke out an existence somehow, trying to fend for ourselves in a world. I've got to make it on my own. I must provide for myself. That just fuels anxiety, doesn't it? No, I'm in a family. I'm in God's family. There's a Father in heaven who provides for me and supplies all my needs. Now, that's true. We don't always get what we want. He's a good father. He doesn't spoil us. Bad fathers spoil their children and give them everything they want, but good fathers give them what they need. And when worried about money, we need to focus on God's care for us, don't we? And Jesus gives us two stress-busting exercises to help us do that. The first one is to do some bird watching. Ever done some bird watching? Look at verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Now, Ingrid and I often walk past the wetlands in Kyneton there near our house, and we've identified 40 species of birds there already. And they don't reap or sow. They don't have stores or barns. They simply gather what God provides. And the point, look at verse 24b, how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Why do you worry about money or anything you need? God provides for the birds. You think God doesn't care for you? He does. You're much more valuable than birds. So that's the first stress-busting idea. Go bird watching. Second one is go out into the garden. Look at verse 27. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith. Now, we've planted approximately 400 plants in our garden over the last few months, and they're actually leaping out of the ground with the wet in December and now the warm weather now, and many of them are already flowering. We have salvias, corias, eremophilas, myrtles, it just goes on and on. And they're all beautifully dressed, aren't they? Absolutely brilliant, stunning displays. And if God looks after the flowers like that, how much more is the loving God going to clothe and care for you? That's what Jesus is saying. Go bird watching. Get out into the garden. Think about God's care. That's two ways to stop worrying about money to get what you need. Worrying about money or your needs is pointless. In fact, Jesus says, what does he say? He says it's actually faithless. There's a Father in heaven who provides for me and supplies all my needs. Trust him. Now, Jesus is not saying we can just sort of sit back and wait for it all to fall in our laps. The birds are busy finding food and building nests, aren't they? Look at Psalm 104, verse 27. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. See what it says? God ultimately provides the food, but the creatures are still busy gathering it up. And Jesus forbids worry, not prudence. The birds teach us we are to cooperate with God and use whatever resources he's given us to earn the money we need for life and so on. But Jesus says, trust God. There's a Father in heaven who loves you, who knows exactly what you need. And then thirdly, how to use money wisely. Here's the alternative to greed. Instead of hoarding money or spending money on yourself, Jesus says, invest it in eternity. Look at verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See what Jesus is saying? He's saying, invest in eternity. Seek God's kingdom. Use your money. Give it to the poor. By the way, in Luke's gospel, when he uses that term poor, it often refers to both physically poor and also spiritually poor, the poor in spirit. Use your money to help the poor and to spread the gospel. That's how you build up for yourselves treasure in heaven that can't be stolen and that won't be lost or depreciate. Are you afraid to do that? Do not be afraid, little flock, says Jesus. Afraid to reduce your capital and liquidate your assets so that you can give it away? Don't you know that you've been given the kingdom? Notice Jesus doesn't say, sell all your possessions and give to the poor and God will give you the kingdom. Doesn't say that at all, does he? No, it's the other way around. He says, you've been given the kingdom. And it's only when you see what you've been given, an eternal kingdom that you haven't earned, that you don't deserve, that in spite of your greed you've been given it. Only when you can see God's incredible generosity and grace to you, the riches of heaven, will you be free to give your money away radically like this. Have you met God in the Lord Jesus Christ? See, there's something that happens in your heart, in the heart of a person who knows and follows Jesus. And it affects everything in their lives, including their use of money. It changes the sort of magnetic pole of a person so that instead of dragging everything around self, it pushes away from self to others. Instead of greedily hoarding money, it uses money and possessions to bless others. See, there's a worldly way of investing, isn't there? Our time, our money, our gifts or resources, which is to leave a lot behind. That's a worldly way of investing. But Jesus doesn't ask you, what have you left behind? He's asking, what are you sending ahead? It's treasure in heaven. The preoccupation of this world and the test of how well you're doing is how much have you left behind. As the bumper sticker says, he who dies with the most toys wins. But the preoccupation of heaven and a test of how well you're doing from that standpoint is how much you send ahead. See, if you've been gripped by the goodness and grace of God towards you in Christ, if you see that he's given you the kingdom, that you have, and you have heaven and eternity in your heart, if you know that, money will just be money. And you won't be afraid to give it away. And there are so many opportunities for us to invest it for eternity, aren't there? Giving to the poor locally and overseas. Giving to the gospel work of the church, including the mission of the church. You know, taste and see, setting aside money to support church planting, supporting prison ministries, CMS missionaries, and other overseas missions. That's using your money wisely, isn't it? Storing up treasure in heaven. Everything you store up here will be left behind. Everything you store up in heaven will last for eternity. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't use some of that money to provide our needs. Of course we should. That's taken for granted. Now notice how Jesus finishes here in verse 34. He wants us to think about this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, we give our hearts to what we treasure. So the question is, what do I treasure? What do you treasure? Every single one of us have something we treasure above all else. And we look to it for security and significance. Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? And money is a big one, isn't it? If you live for anything on earth, it's less than you, don't you see? And it'll enslave you. It'll demand that you sacrifice yourself to have it. And you'll run after it and you'll do anything to get it. Money is like that. It's like the sort of a golden ring in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. The more we possess it, the more we seek it, the more it has a hold over us. Remember how Gollum possesses that ring. And he can't bear to lose it or to be without it. And he calls it my precious. And he's totally obsessed with it. And his obsession gradually turns him into what an ugly, balding, nasty creature. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 7 says this, "Again I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth." Here's a man so busy making money, so busy accumulating wealth, he has no time for family or friends. The man has given his heart not to his family, but to build money and building wealth. And it demands he sacrifice his relationship on the altar of his love of money. And the result is he's lonely, he's unhappy, and he's discontent. Listen to these what these wealthy men of the 20th century said. Henry Ford, "I was happy when doing a mechanic's job." Rockefeller, "I've made millions, but they brought me no happiness." J. Paul Getty, "What can I say? I only know that I'm desolate." It's a picture of an enslaved life, treasuring money and wealth, a lonely and unhappy life without God. But if you've met Jesus, if you recognize him as God's long-promised, glorious Messiah who has divine power and authority over everything, even death, who is the friend of sinners, willing to lay aside the wealth and glory of heaven to come into the world to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for your sin so that you might be forgiven and brought back into a relationship with God, adopted into God's family and inherit the kingdom. If you've come to see him, then he will be incredibly precious to you. He'll be your treasure. And then it works the other way around, do you see? We see that we're actually ugly, nasty creatures, slaves to sin and self and money and possessions, but that by grace and through faith in Christ, we become new creatures, growing to be more and more like him, with a new, humble, kind, generous spirit, freed from the love of money, free to give it away and to be radically generous, laying up treasure in heaven. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus' words here in this very challenging passage. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are wealthy people, with more money than probably 95% of the world's population per capita. Forgive us, Lord, for our greed. Help us, Lord, transform us by your Spirit. Help us to see Jesus clearly and for him to be our treasure. Fill our hearts with your Spirit so that we might see him clearly and worship him alone. And then go out and use our money in the way that would honour you and build up treasure in heaven. Help us with that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.